All right, so this afternoon I'm going to speak about one of the practical ministries that we are doing at our church. And just in case my computer battery runs down, I'm going to just give it a little juice from the main power source here. All right, so let me ask you a question. How many people do you think are dying every year from lifestyle-related diseases? Just take a guess. Every year. In the United States, yes. Of lifestyle-related diseases, in other words, preventable diseases. 1 million. That's close. All right, here are the... I just pulled these statistics off the CDC website. Heart disease, 614,348 every year, just from heart disease. In cancer, for cancer, 591,699. And then you've got your chronic lower respiratory diseases, 147,000. You've got accidents, stroke, 133,000. Then we won't count, so what we'll do is we'll just count stroke, cancer, and heart disease, and diabetes, which is 76,488. We'll leave the rest out. Okay, so just counting those, what is it? Four. Guess how many die every year? 1,400,638 people die every year from preventable diseases. And it's a staggering figure, but the fact is, how many of us actually think about that and how many of us react to it? So that would give us 3,878 U.S. deaths per day, which is the equivalent of 15 jetliners having a wreck every single day in the United States. So when one jetliner crashes, what do? It's a huge catastrophe, right? Because around 250 people die when one of these commercial jetliners crash. So imagine if 15 were crashing every single day for an entire year. You think that would draw news headlines? Not after a while, we'll get used to it, right? But the fact of the matter is, we drive past the hospitals. Now, I come from Jacksonville. In Jacksonville, there must be about 8 hospitals throughout the greater Jacksonville area. And if you try and find parking in any one of those hospitals, you're going to have a very hard time. You know why? Because they are filled to capacity with people that are ill, terminally ill or chronically ill in those hospitals. In 1941 to 1945, how many of the U.S. servicemen were killed? 419,000 were killed in the 4 years. And we are appalled by those figures, right? So that gives you roughly 100,000 U.S. servicemen were killed every year in the Second World War. But if you compare what's happening now in our society, due to ignorance, due to maybe stubbornness, due to lack of knowledge, people are dying at a much, much higher rate every year than was killed in the Second World War. But somehow it's something that our society doesn't think about. It's something our society doesn't react to. And it's certainly we as in the church don't think about it in an urgent manner. So would you think that this is something that we as a church should address? Do you think that this is a national catastrophe, that so many people are dying? I would think so. I would think so. So Martin Luther King Jr. makes a statement. He says, "He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it." So, in our church, something that was part of the fabric of our church is health reform. Back in the 1800s, with the ignorance that existed in the populace back in that day, due to the ignorance and the unsophisticated medical practices, people were also dying at very high rates, right? And so our church played a significant role in helping to prevent disease, helping to educate people with regards to better living practices. Back in Ellen White's day, the physicians actually prescribed cigarettes to help cure lung disease. But today, when you go to the doctor with high blood pressure, what does he do? He puts you on high blood pressure medication, right? Or if you have high cholesterol or high blood sugar, they put you on a medication to help you. Isn't that somewhat ignorant too? If it's preventable, now if it's genetic, of course, you know, go on to medication. But if there are diet-related and lifestyle-related things that we can do to prevent disease, surely, surely, we should do it. And that's why part of our community service and part of our contribution to our communities is to stand up and say, hey, we have great, great resources that can help you. And very often people don't want the help. People want to take the tablet. But if we established an ongoing, sustainable health education program in our communities, eventually our communities are going to start taking note and God's Spirit will start working and sending people to come to cooking schools and health education programs that we can offer to our friends. And so, my friends, that's why community integration, that's why making friends with our community is so important. So here's a question. How many of you have taken a long time to come on to conservative health principles? And how many of you feel the hairs on the back of your neck stand up when somebody comes to you and talks to you about your favorite food that you enjoy? It's not easy, is it? It's kind of a very tense subject. So, you know, you often hear people talking about my pie or my meat or my desserts. It's something that's very personal to us. Health and nutrition is something that you grew up with. The foods that you eat and that you enjoy are something that you hold on to. And if someone comes to you and says, hey, stop eating that, it's not good for you, what do? You might know the facts, but your emotional attachment to that fights back, doesn't it? We all have sinful natures. And so health reform is a very, very delicate subject. And so if you go to the community, people who aren't perhaps Christian or people who aren't born again in other churches, you can't just go up to them and say, pork's real bad for you. Stop eating those juicy pork chops. People are going to get their backs up, right? And so that's why it's so good to be friends first. My wife and I always remind each other that we need to earn the right to speak to people. Have you ever heard of that? Don't just preach at people. Earn the right. And I believe that's what Jesus did. Jesus earned the right to speak to people. He met their needs. He loved them without expecting anything in return. It's called disinterested love. And so in order to help people change their lifestyles, it's good for us to be friends with them first. And when they see that our faces are shining and that we might be at retirement age, but yet we're full of energy, we're joyous, they're going to say, man, I'm younger than you and I'm feeling tired and listless. What do you do? What's your secret? And then you say, well, you know, I'm on a plant-based diet. I don't eat much at nights. I have a good breakfast in the morning. Wow, man, I don't do those things. Maybe I should start doing that. Well, tell me about this. And once you get to that point with people, man, then you can gain good ground. It's called earning the right to speak. And it's called living by example rather than punching people with facts. So let's look at some evidence. And I'm so excited to be a Seventh-day Adventist because we have such specific counsel that has been given to us about health reform. Not because it's a legalistic thing we do to earn salvation, but it's a protective teaching to prevent us from being part of those statistics that die every year from lifestyle-related diseases. So this is a strong admonishment here from Councils on Diets and Foods. It says, the gospel of health has able advocates, but their work has been made very hard because so many ministers, presidents of conferences, and others in positions of influence have failed to give the question of health reform its proper attention. They have not recognized it in its relation to the work of the message as the right arm of the body. While very little respect has been shown to this department by many of the people and by some of the ministers, the Lord has shown His regard for it by giving it abundant prosperity. When properly conducted, the health work is an entering wedge, making a way for other truths to reach the heart. When the third angel's message is received in its fullness, health reform will be given its place in the councils of the conference, in the work of the church, in the home, at the table, and in all household arrangements. Then the right arm will serve and protect the body. Isn't that beautiful? So, In South Africa, we've got these big birds with the long necks and these big bodies and these thick legs. They're called ostriches. And the ethnic parables about ostriches are that when danger approaches, what do? They put their head in the sand. Now, they don't actually know if that's a biological fact or not, but it's become a comparison or an analogy for people who are in denial, right? So we as Seventh-day Adventists, we can't be in denial. There is a catastrophe. Those 15 jetliners are crashing every day, and people are dying all around us because of ignorance. So when my wife and I go walking around our neighborhood, we've got a circle that goes around our neighborhood, and on Tuesday evenings, the recycling comes out. We recycle there in Jacksonville. And so they put the recycling tubs out in the neighborhood. And as we do our walk, we look into the recycling tubs, and guess what we see? Processed foods, you know, TV dinners, soda cans, sugar desserts. I mean, people are eating terribly, and they wonder why they get sick, why their bodies can't, you know, fortify themselves and be healed against these diseases that come to them. So people are dying for the lack of knowledge, and we've been given an incredible health message that we can share with people. But as we said, we need to be friends first. So about 10 years ago now, maybe a little more, Florida Hospital in Orlando, the Mission Development Department. Actually, let me backtrack before that. The Disney Corporation was looking for a hospital for their employees. And so they sent out bids or rather invites to different hospitals to do bids in order to win the contract to have a hospital for the Disney employees. So imagine how the hospital scrambled. And apparently there was a lot of mudslinging amongst some of the hospitals in order to get Florida Hospital out of the running. And Florida Hospital came and they presented a plan to Disney that would help the employees to not only receive medical treatment, but to have preventative measures to prevent them from having disease. And so Florida Hospital came up with the Creation Health Program. The Creation Health Program, very intricately, fits in with the Blue Zone study. You've heard of the Blue Zones? They went to all the different areas where people were living to 100 years and longer, and they did a study, and they found there were about 8 factors that those people were doing that was giving them long life. And so Florida Hospital looked at these factors, and they looked at the principles outlined in the Spirit of Prophecy, and there was a connection between them. And that is basically where you get the biblically based, Christ-centered health program called Creation Health. I wonder, are there some of the ushers here who can help hand out? On that back table there, the back left table, are the catalogs for Creation Health. I wonder if you'll just bring a big stack of those. There's 2 items I'd like you to hand out. The one is the catalog, and the other one is the Creation Health Assessment. So there's a long flyer, yes, that one, and then the catalog is the other one. Yes, that's the catalog. If you'll just hand one of those to each of the people here. So what I'd like you to do is I would like you to complete, not right now, you can complete it over time, and go through the 8 principles and check off where you, rather, score yourself on each of the 8 principles and see where you are as far as your health goes in relation to these 8 principles, okay? So, Pastor Ron's going to is handing out those assessments. So there's a little Creation Health table at the back that has the catalogs for you, but I'm going to give one each to you now, and I'm going to give you an assessment, and you will be able to see, I'll take one of those. So you'll be able to see in this little assessment where you rate as far as holistic health goes. So if you look at the 8 principles, it's choice, it's rest, it's environment, it's activity, trust, interpersonal relationships, outlook, and nutrition. So there's a nice little summary in the front of the assessment book of what Creation Health is. And then in the middle of the booklet, it says there, how healthy are you? How healthy are you? And so it's going to ask you some questions about your choices. It's going to ask you some questions about rest, environment, activity, trust, interpersonal relationships, outlook, and nutrition. And so that will give you kind of just a general thumbnail sketch of... Can I grab one of those catalogs as well, please? Just one over here, thanks. Right there. All right, so Florida Hospital has really taken on producing high-class, high-quality, state-of-the-art resources in order for us to teach our communities about better living principles, okay? So you've seen the first handout. The second handout now is the catalog. And in the catalog, you will see the different products that are available. And the first product that is available is the on page... Are they not numbered? So let me... 1, 2... On page... The third page where it says resources, community, and churches. The adult health kit. The adult health seminar leader training kit is the first main resource that I got for the pastors here in West Virginia. And that has 8 DVDs, 1 DVD for each session. And it then has the big workbook that you see right there in the beginning. It has the big workbook that you can use to lead participants through the Creation Health Program. The second thing I want to show you is the pre-K through middle school curriculum. So Florida Hospital are busy developing materials for the whole family. So what they're doing now is, instead of you getting a babysitter when you go off to Creation Health classes, you bring your kids along, and the kids go through Creation Kids, and the parents go through Creation, the adult material. So it's for the whole family, which is really, really nice. What I don't see here yet is the 8-week kids material, which is available. So you can, if you want to do the Creation Health for the family, you can call the Florida Hospital Mission Development. The numbers are in this little catalog. And then you can get the kids' materials as well. There is a teen guide, Creation Health teen guide, and they are starting to do one for seniors as well. So Florida Hospital are just producing these great materials for all sectors of the population. What I really like about the Creation Health materials, let's go back to this little this little booklet again. Not the catalog, the other one. What I really like about these materials is it helps you to build a protective layer around your life. All right. If you look at the right-hand circle there, creation health helps us to be proactive and protect our lives against disease and against, I would say, against temptation and falling and getting into trouble. In the first session of creation health under choice, it talks about not making choices when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. All right? Because when we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, we are very vulnerable to temptation. We are vulnerable to outbursts of anger against one another. We are more vulnerable to be critical. We are more vulnerable to be depressed. But creation health, the eight principles of creation health, if we have proper rest, if we look after our environment, if we exercise, if we practice trust in God, if we receive and give forgiveness in interpersonal relationships, and we work on having healthy relationships, if we work at having a good outlook and a healthy outlook, and we eat healthily, we are going to be protected against the attacks of the enemy, against making bad choices, and against having dysfunction in our lives. And this is why it's amazing how God led Juliet and myself to do these two ministries. So for the last 6 years, I've been teaching creation health in Jacksonville. And I started off teaching seminars, you know, where a group like yourself comes and we stand in the front and we teach a seminar. But over time, we boiled it down to a small group format, what we call the round table format. And that's what I showed your pastors how to do. So if you want to teach creation health, go to your pastor and he will teach you, because I taught him how to do it. But now, here's the question, and this is where Juliet's ministry comes in so beautifully. Let's say somebody was rejected by their parents when they were young, or they were abused, and they've got this resident anger inside of them, where they haven't forgiven, and they're really struggling with their pasts. Now you come to them and you say, that comfort Haagen-Dazs that you have every evening, you've got to stop that. And you've got to rather have an apple for supper. You see, the Haagen-Dazs is just a symptom of an underlying cause. Now, the recovery ministry that Julie does, this is a reactive ministry. This is a ministry that goes to the cause, to that underlying cause, and starts dealing with the anger and the resentment and the hurt and the pain of the past. So if I can see that people attending the creation health class are stuck, that they can't move forward with the principles, then we recommend the recovery ministry. Because the recovery ministry starts peeling off the layers of the onion until it goes right down to the core of where healing needs to take place. And then after that, we do the creation health, which is now the proactive ministry. It's the protective ministry to prevent dysfunction and to prevent making, you know what I'm saying? So these two work very, very well hand in hand. Question?
I don't think there's anyone alive that doesn't need the recovery.
All right, so Catherine says to us, I don't think there's any one of us alive that doesn't need the recovery ministry. And I agree with her. Because when you've been born into a sinful world, that alone is hurtful. Because sin is dysfunctional. You can have the perfect parents, but there's always something that comes up, whether it's from siblings or whether it comes up in grade school. We are hurt. So yeah, these two ministries work very, very well, hand in hand. And we would like to encourage you to look at both. Because I've spent extensive time with the pastors training Creation Health, I'm not going to be doing training at the camp meeting. But Juliet is going to spend more extensive time on the recovery side. We believe that every church should have a recovery ministry. A safe place where church members and community members can come and sign a contract of confidentiality. And where they can come and just share the hurts, the hang-ups, and the habits. My friends, the thing that makes me very, very angry in our church, and our sister Melody touched on it this morning, she spoke about sins that we, the acceptable sins, what did she call it? The respectable sins? Was that the word? The respectable sins, the ones that we gloss over. You see, what's the difference? What does God hate more, murder or pride? Pride, right? So how much pride is amongst us? We don't talk about that. If we in the church could be more transparent and more accepting of the fact that we are all sinners that have come short of the glory of God, that we are all broken people in need, desperate need of a Savior. And if we would stop this respectable sin stuff and we will admit that sin is sin, healing can take place amongst us so much more freely and easily. We're not hiding in the closet and then on a Sabbath morning we put on our beautiful outfit and we come and everyone thinks we're just this wonderful person. We stand up and teach the Sabbath school lesson. Oh, what a blessing, what a blessing. But we go home and we still are, you know, we've got our closet sins. Or we've got pride that no one can see. Or we're addicted to materialism or work. So the recovery ministry really covers that very beautifully. So someone asked me the other day, you know, what do I suggest, CHIP or Creation Health? Well, they are completely different ministries. Creation Health is a wide net that many people, it's kind of a one-size-fits-all. Because it's so broad and it's so holistic and it's so non-threatening. Creation Health doesn't say, okay, we're starting here now. You've got to give up coffee. Then you've got to give up fatty foods. Then you've got to give up animal products. You know, it doesn't take you down a timeline of things that you've got to give up. Because the first acronym is CHOICE, it invites you to look at what holistic health is, and then it asks you the question, where would you like to start? And with each chapter, there's an assessment. And then the people do an assessment, because do you know how many people aren't sleeping well? A lot. Out in the community, the people are not sleeping. They're having to take drugs to sleep. Then they've got to take drugs to wake up. Then they've got to take drugs to bring their blood pressure down. Then they've got to, you know, I mean, it's a mess. And people aren't feeling good. And so Creation Health asks the question, What would you like to achieve this next week? And the person, I want to walk at least 10 minutes twice a day. Great, write it down. Have I told them to do it? No. They've done it by themselves, you see. And so, because our society is changing so rapidly in their mindsets, the Florida Conference has trained all their pastors, or most of their pastors, to be life coaches. And life coaches help to guide people to make the right decisions themselves. We don't Bible punch and we don't force people to do what they don't want to do. We ask them, where do you want to start? What would you like to achieve? And we model for them a good, healthy, happy, holy life. And through God's Spirit, we invite them to be part of that. Any other questions on what we're talking about? Okay, good. Okay, so you ask me, okay, so now I'd like to start teaching creation health at my church. What do I do to advertise? How do I get people to go there? Well, from what I shared with you last night and what I shared with you yesterday afternoon, you can't have ongoing programs at your church if you don't have friends in the community. It's that simple. Because what you're going to do is, and the traditional method that we in the Adventist church use is, we spend between $10,000 and $25,000. We print flyers with very eye-catching dragons and beasts on the front, and we hand it out to the community, and we get all the people that are interested in dragons and beasts into our church. And we do the 5-week program or however long, and we baptize a bunch of people, and then we wait again. And when we want to do something out, then we spend another $5,000-$10,000, and we put flyers out, and we get those people who actually read flyers and respond to them, and then they come to our church. I can't afford to do that. So, remember I told you last night about I started with the Wayfree Medical Clinic. Do you remember that? Pastor Bob told us about his clinic. So now, we send teams to the Wayfree Medical Clinic. We know the staff at the Wayfree Medical Clinic. And we've said to the Wayfree Medical Clinic, would you like free health education classes? They said, yes, we would. I said, well, how about referring your patients to come to our creation health classes? Wow, thank you. Okay, yeah. I said, well, this is when we run our classes. Please send your patients. So what we've done is we've gone to our friends in the community and we've invited them to refer their patients and their clients to our creation health classes. So if you know a physician in Beckley or Parkersville, Parkersburg, if you go to the physician, say, hey, we are running health classes. We'll come run them in your office if you like. I've tried to stay away from my church until the program is going very well because people are scared of church these days. They think church is a place where people are going to criticize what they eat, what they wear, and how they smell. And that actually happens. So it's better to have your creation health classes in the daycare or in the senior center in town. And once people get to know it and they start trusting you, then you can use your fellowship hall and invite people to come there. You know, God's Spirit will tell you. So, you see this Clay Behavioral Health Center? That is the go-to place in our county for mental health services. We've had the CEO and her assistant go through the program. Guess what happened just the other day? They called me up and they said, Pastor Andre, we've just received a grant to do primary health care and mental health services in our facility. And we have a special group of patients that have got mental health challenges, not severe, but enough not to have them come to your class. How would you mind if we got some materials and ran Creation Health in our facility? I said, we would love that. So now Clay Behavioral Health Center are referring people to our classes, but they're also having Creation Health in their facility for a specific group of patients. So, my friends, when God opens that little crack in the door, when God opens up an opportunity, it's important to go through that crack in the door. Because that crack in the door, there's going to be another crack in the door, and another crack in the door, and another crack in the door. And the doors are going to start opening more and more in your local community. Can you believe that the Clay County Health Department, that's this one here. That's this one here. The Clay County Health Department is one of our referral partners. You know why? There's no funding in Clay County for health education. So, Catherine, go visit the director of your health department and just say, listen, we have this program. Take her a workbook and say to her, we will see your patients free of charge. We'll sponsor your patients if they can't afford it themselves. It's actually a free program, but it's a $25 registration. How would you like to refer all your patients to this health education program? So if you can prayerfully search for referral partners in your county. All right, so here's some fun stuff. I just want to show you. This is the YMCA, and excuse the picture, it's stretched a bit. I've changed formats. I've copied it from one slideshow to the other. But here's Willie Lees, the executive director of the YMCA. This is the YMCA I attend. And so I went to the YMCA and I asked them, I said, could we teach Creation Health in the YMCA? And they said, we'd love you to come. And so here are some of the regional leaders of the YMCA. The YMCA actually said to us, they said, if you can get trained facilitators, we will allow you to use Creation Health in all 15 of our branches in the greater Jacksonville area. And that is something now we are scrambling to do. And we are praying that the business plan we draw up for that will be accepted by their impact committee, and we'll be able to use all 8 churches in Jacksonville to train facilitators. We've just hired a full-time coordinator to do this by faith. All right? So we've gone to the churches in Jacksonville. We've asked them each for $5,000, and we are now going to hire a facilitator to take over this project in Jacksonville. So here's a nice picture of that. This is when I was still doing seminars in the YMCA, as you can see. And I had my wife and some of the church members do cooking demonstrations at the YMCA. All right, here again. This lady here, she's the chief executive officer of Habitat for Humanity in Clay County. This lady is the director of Clay County Health Department, doing Creation Health. She's now one of our facilitators of Creation Health. So this is when we were still doing the format, the seminar style of Creation Health. We are now doing what we call the round table model, where it only takes one person to run a Creation Health program. It's very simple. It's down to earth. And this is one of our graduating classes. We've had some good times with Creation Health. There's some church members here. These two guys are church members. This gentleman here is a church member. And that's about all. The rest are from the community. And then what I do as well, I took them out to Whole Foods and I taught them how to shop. You know, we take them into a grocery store and we teach them how to read labels. And then we will take, you know, two different soft drinks and we'll say, now, which one's the healthier one between the two? And we'll read the labels. And then we'll let them choose. And then slowly but surely, we get them used to reading labels and making good decisions about which product is the best, you see. And they loved it. And then we had lunch afterwards. So there's a lot of things you can do. But I've got a feeling that after this camp meeting, God is going to be opening many doors here in West Virginia. And I've got a feeling He's going to be keeping people up at night with that call. I've called you. I've called you. Be sensitive to my Spirit's opening the door with your neighbors and your community. Because we are called to be salt and we are called to be light. We are called to be Spirit-led, saturated with the Word of God, praying in the name of Jesus, and being thrown out into the midst of the people that need us so desperately. So guys, are you inspired? Are you inspired? Do you feel that a great revival has started here in West Virginia, and that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your age is, God has a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way that He's going to use you. Any questions before we close, sir?
Yeah, we actually did the Creation Health in conjunction with our local hospital, in the hospital.
Nice.
Well received, but we did it seminar style, you know, like.
Right.
What? Tell me the advantage of doing roundtable rather than seminar style.
Well. Okay, so the question is, what is the advantage between doing roundtable as opposed to doing seminar style? Okay, so when you're working with a hospital and you've got a constant stream of people coming through, say you've got 30 people coming through, seminar style is probably the best, as long as you allocate some time for roundtable so that the people can interact with the material. Right. You see, with us, we have a small church. I didn't have a lot of volunteers. But I wanted Creation Health to be an ongoing, sustainable, regular program. Now, I don't know which church has got a team of volunteers that can keep doing Creation Health year-round. But because we have these referral partners, we want to offer Creation Health back-to-back, year-round, so that people can attend at any time of the year, okay? And the roundtable model is sustainable. One person can do it. Right, we can keep it going. So what we do is we show just the first part of the video, then we stop the video and we discuss it. So for every video part, there's a workbook activity and a group activity. So we go into the workbook, we read something, and then we go around the table and we discuss it. So the people are seeing it in the video, they're reading it in the workbook, and then they're talking about it. So it's a very good learning mechanism, and the people form very good relationships because of this constant roundtable activity, and they feel very comfortable with it. But you can only do about 12 to 15 people, you know, unless you've got two round tables that are going simultaneously. So for us, it's just what works best for you, you know. Any other questions before we close? You all got your catalogs, you all got your questionnaires. There's a hand back there. That is true, yes. You can do it both ways, as our brothers just asked. The seminar model, it's not as intense as CHIP, as far as volunteers go, the seminar model, but you want to have greeters. You want to have AV people. You want to have a cooking demonstration, you know, twice or three times during the whole seminar. You've got to set up chairs, you know. You've got to, you know. So there's a bit of teamwork that is required. With a roundtable model, you just need a location, a DVD player, a TV, and one person. In the roundtable, I haven't really done food samples as such, but you can do it with a roundtable if you have the staff. But I just haven't. I couldn't keep asking those volunteers to keep coming back and keep coming back because I just kept doing it over and over and over again. Am I going to show you a clip of one of the videos? I asked for a package to be sent and I didn't specify videos. Let me speak to Elder Bogus and see if we can show a clip before one of the programs so that you can just see. It's very well done. It's extremely well done. Sir?
To do one of the, how many programs is it? I mean, how many sessions?
It's 8 sessions. So if you look at your little questionnaire, there's a session for each one of those in the acronym. So you'll have one session for choice, one for rest, one for environment, and so forth. Great questions. Do we do that over a period of a week or a month? We do it one a week. But I'm working with a group in Boca Raton who do one a month. And actually, it works quite well. You know, a month goes by quite quickly. So they were doing, they have a what they call the Creation Health Golf League. So they meet, you know, during the week they go play golf, and then once a month we do one of the acronym. So it's taken us 8 months to get through that, but it's really worked quite well. We do once a week, and I'll tell you, weeks go by so quickly that before you know it, you know, you're doing the next one.
And how long does one session take, an hour?
We do about an hour and a half, which gives us, you know, very thorough time, a lot of time to really drill down into the subject. And then the seminar also takes about an hour and a half.
I guess
no, that's fine.
What day has been the best day? At what time? The evening?
Noon? Okay, so the question is, what days have we been doing it and what times? We've been doing Tuesday nights at 6:30. My partner down in Flagler County, he has a Florida hospital in his backyard, and so they've also been doing Tuesday nights at 6:30. It's been kind of a good time. But we've noticed that in the YMCA at about 10 o'clock in the morning, the seniors come and work out, and they've done it about 11, 11:30. So we're thinking of doing a Creation Health program at the YMCA right after the seniors have done their workouts. There's in Clay County, there's what they call the Shepherd Center, and they've got also the Clay County Council on Aging. They're all friends of ours. And we're going to, once we have more facilitators trained, we're going to send facilitators to those senior centers to do classes at 10 in the morning when they come for their quote-unquote daycare activities, you know, at the senior center. So it's nice, it's adaptable, you can do it in any location, and you can basically adapt it to the time that suits the participants. Yes. Come over here.
No, it's fine. can also just do it in your home with your neighbors. It's very friendly. It's very easy. You can invite your neighbors over and maybe have soup and salad together and watch the DVD and have a discussion. People are curious about us. They want to know what we do differently. And it's just a great way to kind of begin friendship evangelism. And those groups can form, and people don't want to stop coming. And we have at the YMCA, we have people that just keep coming, same people. They like it. They like each other. And so it can turn into a weekly Bible study or a weekly book study or something else that continues after you finish with the Creation Health.
Yes. Okay, the question is, the kids program, is it currently available? There's two kids program. The one is the five-part VBS. You know, VBS is usually over 5 days. And then they've got the kids regular seminar kit is also in 8 parts, and each one of the acronym is covered on a different evening. And so, yes, that is available. It's not in this current catalog, but you can call the Mission Development and they will make it available to you. Yes. Yes. If you look in your catalog, you'll see there's a breakdown of ages. I believe the kids' materials is from like 4 to 12. And then you've got younger than 4. There are materials for them, but just little coloring and books and stuff. And then the 13 and above is the teens material. There's a separate workbook for that. So unfortunately, I don't have a full table with all the products for you to view. I just brought you catalogs and then the assessments. But your pastor has got a workbook and he's got the DVDs. And that is kind of the main core resource of Creation Health. And sister, you've got the workbook and the DVDs too, right? So yes, I remember you from the training. Yep. A hand back there. Well, right. Well, you know, so the question is, in Florida we have a very mixed demographic of people. Here in West Virginia, people basically stay their whole lives. So if a West Virginian is teaching the class to West Virginians, I think the West Virginian teaching the class will know how to conduct the conversation. You know what I'm saying? But it's basically the same material. If you're not sleeping at night, if you're drinking coffee, you're going to stay up awake, whether you live in Florida or West Virginia. You know what I mean? Our human bodies are pretty much react the same. Right. You know, when I taught health in South Africa, it was pretty much the same. Yeah, it's the same basic principle. The Western lifestyle has kind of permeated so many parts of the world and so many parts of our country, and it's hurt so many of us that I think there's basically a West Virginian will know how to teach to a West Virginian. You know what I'm saying? If there's a way that is better to relate to your own people rather than a foreigner. Yes, ma'am.
I've done home health for years, and when you're working with those older people, who you may think they're never going to change, why am I wasting my time? You're influencing their children and their grandchildren because they're so thankful you're doing something
Wow. Yeah, so the comment was made that our sister here does home health with elderly, but she says when she educates the elderly, it also educates their children and their children's children. So you actually get to influence multiple generations, which is really nice. But, you know, guys, at the end of the day, it's a spirit-led. You know, this is God's work. It's hard work, but it's God's work. And God will open up the doors if we are praying in Jesus' name for doors to be opened. He's going to lead us. And he's going to show us the way. These are just simple tools in our hands. Sister back there. You don't. No, you don't. The best way to open that door is by relational associations. In other words, when we are friends with them, look, those people are stubborn, but they are sick as well, right? They are stubborn, but they're overweight. They're stubborn, but they're struggling to walk. And here you are younger than them, I mean older than them, doing more things than they're doing. It's got to get their attention. So as you help them, and their hearts open. Well, come to Jacksonville. That's exactly the case as well. Yeah, welcome to America. So the comment was just made that in West Virginia, people are keep to themselves. They want to keep doing what they're doing. They don't want to change. But I think that, I mean, we've got neighbors like that in our neighborhood as well. And that's why we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where people's, okay, we've got 1 minute. I'm just going to close with this. In Wales, there was a young man who lived out on a farm who the Spirit of God touched to be passionate for revival. And so that young man went into his barn on his farm and he started praying for revival in Wales. You can Google the Welsh revival. And he kept praying. And he kept praying. And God did a work in his life. And through some mysterious means, he and his neighbor connected. And his neighbor saw a difference in the way he spoke and the way he related to his neighbor. And his neighbor came and prayed with him in the barn. And the two of them prayed for revival, and the two of them prayed for revival. And they went to their local church, and through some mysterious connection, the church, some people in the church saw the change in them and started praying with them for revival. Eventually, the whole church was praying for revival. Well, sister, the Welsh revival broke out. People would stop in the streets and would burst into tears because of the Spirit of God that was being poured out in that town. The pubs, people were having prayer meeting in the pubs, not drinking. The prison, there was a decline in the number of inmates in the prisons. And it spread from town to town. Eventually, the whole Welsh revival took place. So we cannot change people. We cannot bring them the Adventist truth. We cannot teach them about health reform. But as we are changed ourselves. And through the Spirit leading us and other people experiencing that change, revival takes place. Well, let's have a closing prayer, and I thank you so much for your attention, and thank you so much for coming out this afternoon. Father in heaven, I thank you for every brother and sister that is here today. I thank you for their patience and their long suffering, sitting through two long sessions this afternoon. Father, we pray for revival. Lord, we cannot change the stubborn human heart. And forgive us, Lord, for trying to speak to people without earning the right to speak. And I pray, Father, that you will teach us the patience to work with people without expecting anything in return, just loving them and watching the Spirit work through us and in them and in the relationship that we have with them. So God, I pray for Mountain View Conference. I pray for all the conferences in the North American division, Lord, that you will bring revival. We thank you so much for our church. We thank you for the blessing that you've placed upon it. And we just pray that you'll continue to work in and through each one of us. We are your church, and we wait on you with expectation and excitement in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Thank you. Have a wonderful supper. We'll see you this evening. My wife, Juliet, will be speaking here tonight.